Smiley Vaughan and Nathan Shared Productions present Icons in Jazz. Betty Carter, the voice of emancipation. Her voice was her instrument, jazz was her life. She was a passionate, powerful woman, an artist who cultivated truth and beauty. She was one of the most adventurous female jazz singers of all time. The impeccable Betty Carter. The great jazz trumpeter Wynton Marsalis once summarized the lifetime achievement of Betty Carter. She believed that jazz is meaningful music. Her mission was jazz. She was a woman of deep integrity, uncompromising, a fantastic composer, innovator of songs, innovative arranger, great teacher, unbelievable advocate. Any box there is to check, her name is there. Determinedly, she developed her own style, taught countless of talents to be her or himself, and she was an inspiration as a strong and independent artist.
Thank you. La do do de de la do do le 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 la do de de do 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 de do la do 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 de de. It's Kenny Washington. La do do de la do do de. Curtis Lundy.
Secret of my plot.
is just to tell them that I love you a lot. The world discovers as my book ends. I make it hard to make to love me.
The impeccable Betty Carter live on stage at Bradshaw's Great American Music Hall in Los Angeles in December 1979, opening the night in the second disc of her fabulous double album, The Audience with Betty Carter, with her improvised scat version of the Lawrence Hart, Richard Rodger chestnut, I Could Write a Book, introducing her brilliant band with drummer Kenny Washington, bassist Curtis Lundy, and pianist John Hicks, before she gets lost in some thrilling scat lines. After getting her feet wet with the first few releases for her own record label, she came up with this double LP, which many of her fans would consider her masterpiece now. She had to fund the project herself because in the late 70s, early 80s, it was more expensive and complicated to record live as it would become later on. But this once again shows Betty Carter's determination and willpower. But let's look back where it all started, back to Flint, Michigan, where Lily Mae Jones was born on the 16th of March, 1929. When her father got a job as the musical director of a church in Detroit, the family moved into the metropolis where young Lily Mae grew up. Her parents were busy with their own lives and there was not much time for nurturing her daughter, who very often was left on her own, which in a certain way contributed to the fact that she had to take things into her own hands and to develop independency. She discovered her love for singing and started to audition for amateur shows. After winning the first prize in a competition, she felt as though she were being accepted into the music world, and the seed for her aspiration to spend her life on stage as a jazz singer fell on fertile soil.
Jazz is making do with taters and grits, standing up each time you get hit. Jazz ain't nothing but soul. Jazz is living high off nickels and dimes, telling folks about what's on your mind. Jazz ain't nothing but soul. Trumpets, cassettes, saxophone, rhythm making love. People wearing fancy clothes, it's the voice of my people. For me, jazz is all the truth to be found, never mind who's putting it down. Jazz ain't nothing but soul. The voice of my people. For me, jazz is all the truth to be found, never mind who's putting it down. Jazz ain't nothing but soul.
Jazz ain't nothing but soul, a leitmotif of Betty Carter's life and career. And this Norman Mapp composition was perfectly suited for the young, ambitious singer. and it found its way onto Carter's 1960 album, The Modern Sound of Betty Carter, another strong statement to introduce her to the world of jazz vocalese. Carter is backed here by a big band conducted by Richard Wise, who also arranged the 12 tracks, and it became one of her first albums as a solo performer. Jazz and the intense desire to sing conquered Betty Carter's soul from a young age, but she was still too young to sing in clubs and bars, and she later said in an interview that she had to fake her birth certificate to perform live in front of an audience. Detroit was a hotbed of jazz, and in the mid-1940s, Carter was fascinated by the new, modern and exciting sound pouring in from the Big Apple, the revolutionary style of bebop. When one of the leading pioneers and propagators of this new style, Dizzy Gillespie, performed in Detroit, Carter introduced herself, and when asked to come on stage, she stepped bravely forward and started to scat. And it was Dizzy Gillespie who often is considered as a huge influence for Betty Carter's strong passion of this wordless vocal improvisation which would accompany her all through the life. Her scatting was known to display a degree of spontaneity and basic inventiveness that was seldom seen elsewhere, and even Miles Davis and Thelonious Monk gave her a chance to present herself. Her breakthrough came in 1948 when vibraphonist and bandleader Lionel Hampton hired the Kid, as he called the 19-year-old singer.
Cobb's idea. I'm
Mighty Lionel Hampton Orchestra there, one of the hottest jazz bands of the 1940s. And there it was in full swing with a not even 20-year young Betty Carter up front, contributing her extraordinary scat singing to this recording of Cobb's Idea, written by the tenor saxophonist of the orchestra, written by Arnett Cobb and arranged by the bandleader. Initially billed as Lorraine Carter, the young singer's confidence grew with the environment of the Lionel Hampton Orchestra, and working with him, it gave her the chance to be bandmate with artists such as Charles Mingus, Wes Montgomery, and others. But it was Hampton's wife Gladys who became the role model as a black woman on top of a successful organization, literally telling people how she wanted them to go. It was Gladys who gave her the nickname Betty Bebop. And although she hated it, it gave her the feeling of appreciation as a fiercely independent artist with a tendency to attempt to resist her bandleader's direction. She openly hated his swing style, refused to sing in a swinging way, and was far too outspoken for his taste, which led to the fact that during her 2.5-year stint, Lionel Hampton fired her 7 times, rehired her each time at the behest of his wife. The 7th time was enough for Carter. She had learned enough and quit for good, going down in history as one of the last big band era jazz singers. Carter and Hampton parted company in 1951, and she hit the jazz scene in New York City, singing with several groups over the next few years, made a few appearances at the Apollo, performed with Bob legends like Dizzy Gillespie and Max Roach, before she teamed up with pianist Ray Bryant to cut her first album in 1955.
Pennies in a stream, falling leaves of sycamore, moonlight in Vermont. I see snowlight in the mud. Telegraph cables they sing down the highway, and travel each people who meet in this romantic setting are so hypnotized by a lovely evening. Summer breeze warbling a moonlight in Vermont. You and I and moonlight in Vermont. Telegraph cables they sing down the highway and travel each people who meet in this romantic setting are so hypnotized by a lovely evening. Summer breeze warbling our meadow. moonlight in Vermont. You and I and moonlight in Vermont.
Two young artists at the beginning of their career. Pianist Ray Bryant was 23 and Betty Carter 25. Her voice already quite recognizable, although her improvising style during those 11 cuts for their May 1955 joint album Meet Betty Carter and Ray Bryant is much more conservative than it would be from the 1970s on. Her singing already shows individuality, as you could hear on her rendition of the John Blackburn Carl Zustoff ballad Moonlight in Vermont, captured on this historical and enjoyable set. Carter's work with Ray Bryant's trio was the first step to present her scat singing and her ballad interpretation within the framework of a solo career. And 3 years later, in 1958, she cut two albums, Out There and I Can't Help It. The title track of the latter, her first original compositions with which she entered the supreme discipline of vocal jazz, the mastery of ballad singing.
I can't help it. That's the way that I am. I can't help it. I don't know how to share. I try to do the things I feel inside. And believe me, that's the real deal. Have you considered what it does to your soul? You sell it when you play some other's role. Be yourself, dear, in what you choose to be. I'm not changing, I need you, can't you see? So try me, and maybe you'll love me, 'cause I can't help it. That's the way that I am.
Betty Carter's first composition, I Can't Help It, which is most memorable and somewhat autobiographical. The lyrics, a testament of her independency. Here you considered what it does to your soul. You sell it when you play some other's role. Be yourself, dear, in what you choose to be. I'll not change you. I need you, you can't see. So try me and maybe you'll love me, 'cause I can't help it. That's the way that I am. And it is also the title track of her second album for the Peacock label, put into the can in 1958. but it surprisingly failed to attract much notice at the time of the release, later remastered and re-released on CD by the GRC label. But despite commercial flop, her name continues to get around, especially when she joined Miles Davis's band, with whom she spent 1958 and 59 on the road. And it was a trumpeter who recommended her to R&B and soul singer Ray Charles, with whom Carter began touring in 1960.
I really can't stay.
Betty, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Betty, it's cold out there.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand. They're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
What's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the
listen
floor.
To that fireplace
roar. So really I better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a
why don't you put some records on while I pour?
And the neighbors might think
Betty, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
To break the spell,
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks red.
I ought to say no, no.
Mind
no, sir.
If I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Ah, oh, but it's cold outside.
It's cold outside.
The answer is no.
I say it's cold out there.
The welcome has been.
How lucky that you dropped in.
So nice and warm.
Look out that window. Man, that's
my sister will be suspicious.
Your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves up on a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a
cigarette
more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to go home.
Better you freeze out there.
Say, lend me your comb.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk to me.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and died,
I really can't stay.
Get over that old now.
Oh, but it's cold.
Written in 1944 by Frank Loesser and popularized in the 1949 film Neptune's Daughter, decades later, this call and response duet caused quite a controversy among listeners and women groups and organizers for the alleged implication of the lyrics described as suggestive of sexual harassment, and it led to a ban by several radio stations in the United States. However, others have noted the different cultural expectations at the time of the song's writing and the decades followed. Nevertheless, after decades, Baby It's Cold Outside still stands strong as a well-known song covered by the who is who of popular and unpopular music, including Ray Charles and Betty Carter. Their duet, certainly a highlight of the musical partnership in the early mid-1960s and a highlight of many live performances during their extended tours. They definitely spawned a classic hit single with their sexy duet version. Oddly, in the wake of their breakthrough success, Carter effectively retired from the music for much of the 1960s in order to concentrate on raising her two sons, and her gigs and appearances in recording studios became sporadic. But her comeback attempt in 1969 was more difficult than she expected, because with the rise of the Beatles and the British rock music invasion, the success of Motown and the appearance of avant-garde and free jazz movement, there was little interest in her music by record companies. But Betty Carter took another crucial step in her career and in her constant striving for independency. She formed her own label, Betcar Records, in 1970 and released her music on her own for nearly two decades before distribution problems led to a deal with the Verve label in the 1980s. It was clearly Betty Carter's turn now, with the doors of success wide open.
Why make me beg, 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 beg? Why torture me like this? Can't you see
A wonderful, soulful live performance of Open the Door there, one of Betty Carter's greatest, best-known compositions, written in 1964 and performed and recorded by Carter many times. It became a signature song for the rest of her career and also the title of her biography, and it was a frequent part of her live performances. This version, captured on the astonishing 1979 live album aptly entitled An Audience with Betty Carter, released on her own Betcar label, but distributed by Verve. An extraordinary 2-CD set that many of her admirers and fans would consider her masterpiece. The set is as faithfully as possible a transcription of her nightclub sets with piano trio backing, by John Hicks on the ivories, Curtis Lonely on bass, and Kenny Washington on the drums. Carter spent most of the decade touring extensively to help make ends meet, maintaining a trio that evolved into a training ground for young jazz musicians. She preferred to hunt for and develop new talents as a way of keeping her own music fresh and vital. But as much as she challenged those young talents, she challenged herself. She demanded perfection every night. If that wasn't the case, she would say to her audience, "Sorry, we have to interrupt this piece. The kids don't have it yet." And when she played a ballad for the very first time, she said to the whole band, when it was not to her liking, "Pooh, lads, you don't have a clue how to make love," remembered drummer Clarence Penn. Carter delivered standout performances all over the world, and both an audience with Betty Carter and her appearance at the Newport Jazz Festival are regarded now as a landmark of vocal jazz. And in 1987, it came to a summit meeting of its kind, the summit meeting of two grand ladies of female jazz vocalists, the summit meeting of Betty Carter with Carmen McRae.
Let the good times roll. I'm just a woman, a lonely woman, waiting on a weary shore. I'm just a woman that's only human, one you should be sorry for. Got up this morning along about dawn, without a warning, hey, I found he was gone. Why should he do it? How could he do it? He never done it before. Am I blue? Am I blue? Thank you. too, you'd be too. If each plan with your man done fell through, there was a time I was his only one, but now I'm the sad and lonely one. Lordy, Claudy, and my gay. No, not really. Till, what I mean, not really. Today, either you is or you ain't. Now he's gone and we're through. Am I blue? It's aggravating to stand here waiting.
You're great, honey. I love it.
Waiting for that trifling man. It gets me hating to stand here waiting, leaving is my only plan. I think it's awful, his treatment of me. It's most unlawful, how mean he is to me. I can't forget him. I'm bound to get him. I'll run him down.
You're in a truck, yeah.
If I can, was the time was I gay till today? Now he's gone and we're through. Am I blue?
Yeah, he's gone and we're through.
Are we blue?
I think we're supposed to be blue, but I really don't care.
I'm not blue.
You run him down in a car.
I'm not blue. I'm not.
Am I Blue, the Harry Acts Grant Clark Chestnut, interpreted the female way by two extraordinary figures of female jazz vocalists, the summit meeting of two grand ladies of jazz, Betty Carter and Carmen McRae, captured live during their performance at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco in January 1987 and made available or the rest of the world via an album that includes 9 stunning duets where both ladies show their virtuosity paired with a lot of good humor and spontaneously jamming with suitable support by pianist Eric Gunnison, bassist Jim Hugert, and drummer Wynyard Harper, along with a very enthusiastic audience that makes you wish to be there. Carter usually takes vocal honors, while McRae comes up with some humorous lines, a treat for any jazz vocalese lover. At the end of the 1970s into the 80s, Carter enjoyed a new peak in critical and popular estimation. Her records were distributed worldwide, and her fans and her audiences admired her during her renaissance. Hanging off her every word, a success she worked hard for but never expected to that extent. Every modulation, every expression, no matter how small, Carter carries out with her body and emotion. And like no other singer before her, she seemed to live every moment of the song. She gave master classes, nurtured young talents, and was in demand by the big festival stages around the globe. She won critics' polls and her first Grammy, which signaled that critics and audiences had finally caught up to her advanced, challenging style.
I should care, I should go around weeping. I should care, I should go without sleeping. Strangely enough, I sleep well, except for a dream or two. But then again, I count my sheep well. Funny how sheep allows you to sleep. I should care, I should let it upset me. I should care, but it just doesn't get to me. Maybe I will find someone as wonderful as you. I sleep well, except for a dream or two. But then again, I count my sheep well. Funny how sheep lulls you to sleep. I should care, I should let it upset me. I should care, but it just doesn't get to me. Maybe I will find someone as wonderful as you.
captured live on stage during a performance at the Philharmonie in Munich in 1992. The whole concert, by the way, available on YouTube if you're interested, with Betty Carter in sparkling form, accompanied by a trio of excellent young lions of contemporary jazz. Cyrus Chestnut on the piano, Joe Roland Ariel on bass, and Clarence Penn on the drums. Even when her intonation wasn't on the highest level in the later years of her life, Betty Carter had proudly achieved what she had fought for her whole life, to be accepted the way she was. Additionally, she expanded her interest in developing new jazz talents through her Jazz Ahead education program, which exists up to today. She gave workshops until she fell ill, sadly losing her fight against cancer on the 26th of September 1998, passing away at her home at the age of 69. Her music, thankfully, out there for eternity. La 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 la.
Thank you. little baby, baby. Little baby, little boy. Oh, little boy, baby. Yeah, 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 da 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 da
to see.